Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 11 minutes past one. As I said a few minutes ago, it's 10 degrees, possibly the high for the day, so it doesn't bear thinking about, does it? Although the sun's out, probably not all that warm, so we'll see. But anyway, it's the second hour of Community Connections. I have with me Meg, and Meg's from a program, or she's got a program called the 5 Acre Program. The 5 Acre Project. Meg, welcome.
Thank you.
And it's good to have you back. And could you just, I mean, maybe everybody or some might have forgotten what, because we had you along last month talking about the programs you're running. Just for a quick overall, just for those who weren't listening or those that have forgotten, if you just give us a quick idea of what you're all about up there, please, Meg.
Of course, sure. So our organisation is called Trek Learning Centre, and we run a program.
Sorry, can you just get a bit closer to the mic?
It's
just a bit soft.
Sounds not very good. Is that any better? All our tech issues these days. So, yes, our organisation is called Trek Learning Centre, and we run our primary program is the 5 Acre Project that you were just referring to. So the 5 Acre Project works to re-engage vulnerable young people who've got quite complex barriers, who are currently not engaging in education, training or employment. So we're a preparatory program that looks at a range of complex factors in their lives.
What age group, please, Meg?
So it's not set in stone. So we say 14 to 18 for the 5 Acre Project, because we are looking at that school age young person who's become disengaged or who may have missed extensive schooling and might be looking at other pathway options. Having said that, we are flexible on other days. We don't have, you know, very young people with people who are over 18, but there are circumstances where someone might access that program because it's relevant for them.
And what's the basis of the program, Meg? Like, how do you re-engage these young people?
Sure. So I guess we had a conversation last time about some of the things that we're looking at. So some of the words that we were talking about was, trauma and developmental trauma and those responses around that. So just to sort of extend on that, what we look at with the young people that we're working with is quite extensive barriers to their education experience. And usually, I'm just talking in broad brushstrokes, but usually the young people we work with have experienced some form of trauma in their childhood that has had an ongoing and lasting impact. And so the program addresses those barriers through the way that we work is on a farm. So we work with animals, we work in horticulture, we do a lot of building projects. So we're working very hands-on. It's a very physical program, and we're sort of re-engaging a young person back into their body, because quite often they're becoming too complex but disassociated from their sense of their behaviours, their ideas, and so really kind of getting them in a physical context really supports that therapeutic practice. And we're also sort of ascertaining if there's kind of particular gaps in knowledge. So and then we build all that in doing all hands-on work. So we're sort of reducing that stress on young people about feeling like they have to tick all the boxes and pass a test, or that they're, so they are able to let their guard down through a lot of our building and cooking, and we're doing measuring all the time, so that we're sort of being able to pick up those gaps and then build them in through our program. And so we work with very, very little numbers, so a maximum of 6 in each program. So it's very individualised, and we scaffold that young person. So they might have barriers as complex as, they might be homeless and have substance abuse issues that are affecting their ability to engage in school. So obviously those things are the first things that we're addressing, right down through then their mental health and ongoing sort of impacts of trauma that do affect people's capability to learn and retain information.
You're not just working with a young person who says, oh, blow it, I can't be bothered going to school, are you? You are dealing with people that do have underlying problems, and probably some of them over quite some time, I guess.
That's right. And, you know, to be honest, I don't think there's many young people who think that they can't be bothered going to school. They might be a bit, you know, over homework, or but if the young person, you know, is fitting into that model and is able to be successful, there is a lot of scope within schools now to address, you know, engagement with young people who might not particularly love writing an essay. So, yeah, we're working with young people who have really profound barriers and who probably and quite often haven't been picked up through maybe primary school as to why that child is having difficulties with other children, while that child's behaviour might be incredibly disruptive, potentially violent, why that child can't remember what you told them yesterday. And so they've sort of drifted through and felt, you know, pretty poorly about themselves. And then usually by, you know, year seven, they're probably not attending. And so by year nine, there's significant gaps around just knowledge that they haven't been exposed to, but then also compounding factors around their well-being.
And I guess the other thing is too that, some of these young people have just grown up, not only just had the, like a lot of them wouldn't have only had the one thing happen to them once, would they? I mean, some of these like systematic abuse and those things tend to go on for years, don't they? And I guess once their self-esteem is down, then it's very hard for them to do anything themselves, isn't it? Just by themselves.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, without sort of getting too complicated, that's the difference between, you know, talking about a traumatic event that could happen to you or I. We could have a terrible car accident or, you know, something may happen in comparison to developmental trauma and those impacts of childhood trauma that are ongoing actually change the way that child's brain grows and develops. So it grows to be in a protective mode, and a brain that's being protective doesn't need to have a long-term memory for information like words or numbers. So that it's really difficult to then be in a classroom if you've got, you know, a difficult life that's ongoing outside that classroom. And then even if those circumstances change and that young person might not be in those circumstances any longer, those brain changes have occurred. So there's a whole process around really redeveloping and altering the young person's brain function. So quite often they don't understand, they don't maybe remember even doing some of the things they might do if they get very upset. And so there's this sort of very confusing life that they have lived for quite often, you know, the majority of their life, where they know people are cross with them, they know they're not doing the right thing, but they don't know what's going on.
So I guess one of the things you've got to do, first of all, is you can't just sit them down and teach them a skill or anything, can you? So part of you've almost got to retrain them to retain information. I guess that's part of it to start with, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so I guess when we're sort of talking about therapeutic practices, and they're just words around really about addressing that trauma and how the brain works, is using your hands bypasses some of those brain mechanisms that we're talking about that are difficult in a classroom or an enclosed space and sitting still. So being able to be doing something quite often that's repetitive. So we do a lot of, a lot of gardening, a lot of horticulture care, a lot of building. And within our building, like at the moment, for example, we're doing bush furniture. So everything that we've got is reclaimed and using, you know, very old-fashioned tools from another time. It's, you know, it's quite meditative. It's very repetitive work and it's quite physical. And so it allows that sort of de-escalation of a young person who's feeling quite stressed. We're in open spaces. They get puffed out a lot, which is a really great first step in actually just calming a body down to be, you know, using a lot of energy. And so what that does is young people are actually so clever with their hands, and there's a sort of an innate memory of the brain, and so we are able to do all sorts of things and accomplish things in one day or over many weeks that start to build that capacity, one, to lower some of the stress mechanisms in their brain that do prevent you know, learning or long-term memory and those sorts of things. But also, like what you're saying, is a real sense of pride. We're always reflecting back to them like, oh my gosh, look what we just did today. Look what you did. And look at the skill that you've built from last week. Or look how you managed that really tricky situation. You know, a month ago you might have, you know, flipped over a chair or felt very upset about that. So we're able to, you know, really be reflecting back to them their changes, and then as it's appropriate and as our relationship builds, we can have lots of those sort of sideways conversations about why those things happen for them or why their reactions might be, which is quite empowering for a young person who actually can often feel very confused about their own being. So,
all right, Meg, I've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 27 minutes past one and we're still sitting on 10 degrees. And I must mention next week on Community Connections, we've got two interviews. First of all, the Legal Hour, and then we've got the Wurrialik Community House coming along to tell us what they're doing during lockdown. Look, I'm always keen to get more questions in for the legal team. So if you've got any questions, we can't discuss a particular case, but we can discuss a particular law. So if you want to, send us an email at info@yarravalleyfm.org.au. That's info@yarravalleyfm.org.au. Or if you'd like to give us a ring in the next half hour on 59-615-991, 59-615-991. I'm sure Greg had take down some particulars and we'll get them answered for you next week. But anyway, we've got Meg with us, and Meg, apart from other things, runs this 5-acre project we've been talking about, and we're going to continue. Meg, at the last, when we spoke to you about a month ago, you tickled our fancy a bit and said that you were starting to try and do something with the Ringwood Magistrates Court. Has that been put on hold because of the COVID-19, or did something happen there?
So, look, we do work with young people who might be on a diversion order or have a youth justice involvement. So what we were hoping to develop was an ongoing day program that fitted some of the requirements through the Magistrates Court that were, rather than just sort of ticking, not implying that they're just ticking boxes, but rather than maybe saying a Community Service Act and the young person might be sorting materials at an op shop, or that we could genuinely look at sort of scaffolding that young person's capabilities and meeting those requirements. But at the moment, due to COVID-19, young people don't attend court. So I don't know if that's for all court hearings, but in the Magistrates Court at the moment, that doesn't happen. That's a continuing conversation and opportunities in this tricky time.
Well, unfortunately, and as if you've heard the interview I did before with the Healesville U3A, we're in a bit of unknown, uncharted territories, isn't it? We don't altogether know where we're going. So I guess at least that's an opportunity there for the future. Because yes. How do you mainly get your young people, Beck?
Oh, it's quite varied. So we might work with schools from the region that have young people that they're concerned about, or who may not be attending, service organisations that work with young people, or DHS or Child Protection. As I mentioned, the youth justice or youth diversion. So all sorts of families just concerned about their young person or their young person's mental health, who might be, maybe not leaving their room as much, or not going to school, or might have, be just really struggling. So, we're certainly able to meet the needs of young people being referred through, a variety of different areas, and it's certainly a variety of experiences.
Meg, have you got a website that people can look up? Because I'd suggest that quite a few people listening to us today may be grandparents, because some of the parents, although they're probably not at work at the moment, but certainly if grandparents are concerned, or even parents, where could they go and have a look and just see, what you do and a bit
Absolutely.
About you?
Sure. So our website is just treklearningcentre.org. So it's quite easy to find. It's
track. Hang on, can we go back? Yes. It's very easy to say track, but could you spell it out
to
them, please?
It's www.trek learningcentre.org.
Do you have a Facebook page?
We've got an Instagram page.
Yep.
So the same.
Trek Learning Centre.
That's it, yep.
Yep. Trek means a whole lot of things to different people.
It does, it does.
And sometimes we talk anachronisms. Meg, we've talked a little bit about very general as to what you do. You say, we work with animals, we work with this. Mm-hmm. Could you get a little bit more specific and tell us what you actually do? So a young person rolls in today. We'll say that it's the first time. They've been welcomed to you, or they've been introduced to you. So how does your organisation
look like? Yep. Sure. So the young person's experience of, particularly in the 5-acre project, is very, I guess it should appear quite loose and relaxed and sort of have a lot of joy. So we're trying to really re-engage a level of curiosity in a young person that may have lost that idea of what education means or what learning means. So when young people arrive, at the moment we've got all sorts of, they have to do all sorts of things before they're on site. We hand sanitising and temperature taking and signing in and mask wearing. But, if we put all of that aside, they come in, we've got quite a big outdoor kitchen communal area with a big commercial coffee machine. So if the young person knows how to do that, or if there's someone already there making the coffees for the morning, they just have a cuppa. Quite often they'll come earlier and have some brekkie. And particularly over the winter months, so there's always a fire going. So once they, make their drink or grab something to eat, we sit around the fire and we have a bit of a chat about what we're going to do. And we probably spend maybe 10 minutes on some kind of very non-intrusive, non-threatening mindfulness sort of, and we build that. So initially, if it's the very beginning of a program and everyone's feeling anxious and uncomfortable and don't know each other, we just sort of are really just talking about our day. And then as we go, we really just embed that practice and develop it. So we're really, again, just sort of helping a young person to connect with their breathing. We might just sort of use senses of, you know, what sounds can we hear, bringing that in. And so we sort of work on a whole range of practices each morning. And then once we've done that and everyone's finished their cuppas and what have you, we split up for the day. So we've got our building projects that young people, so if, at the moment, as I said, we're doing the bush furniture. So everyone's making a milking stool. And we've got our horticulture and our food forest tunnel. So each young person in there has their own wicking bed, and then we've got our communal gardens. So the communal gardens, we just grow everything that we eat in our, from our cooking program. And then each young person has their own garden and they grow and do whatever they want with that. That's theirs to do. So two young people will do that. And then we've got our cooking and animal care program. So whoever's cooking in the kitchen that day will go and harvest food from the food tunnel or sort of our outdoor gardens. We've really prepped a bit of a menu plan beforehand, so everything's seasonal. So at the moment, you know, it might be like lemon curd, or so we do a dessert and a lunch. And then, and maybe if we've got time, it might be something for the larder. So we've got, you know, we're just making our way through summer's pasta sauces and things like that. And then those young people then do all of the animal care. So we work sometimes one-on-one with a young person in a therapeutic way with our donkeys. But if we're just really just looking at care and bringing in, just referring to some of those interruptions for a young person who's experienced trauma, quite often attachment is a very disrupted mechanism for a young person. So actually feelings of love or compassion or empathy can be quite disrupted. And animals have a little bit of a short circuit to that more than probably people, particularly if a young person's distrustful of people.
And animals respond very kindly too, don't they?
They do.
They really respond to if you're affectionate to an animal, yes. An animal will just respond beautifully.
And so right through to our chickens, everything here is, you know, hand-raised and very handled. So if someone was to arrive in the morning, it does look like a bit of a, there's always someone with a chook on their knee at lunchtime or, you know, yeah, it is a little bit of a madhouse, but the animals are, you know, very loved and bring a really beautiful component for young people who might actually find it difficult to talk initially or quite shy, but they can sort of just have that connection, and it's always sort of a nice in for everyone. We've got two dogs that attend our program. One's completely mad. She's a Kelpie and very high-spirited and, you know, and then one's just a very sweet, gentle. So it's always a fascination of mine as to what dog young people are attracted to or what person each dog will spend their time with for a day. And then we've got our donkeys. And so we do a lot of work really around sort of we've got a mum and a foal. And our mum is a rescue donkey, so she is very distrustful, and she's a beautiful in for us to talk about healthy barriers, boundaries, and looking at her, starting to understand what her body is saying to us, because sometimes young people miss cues of when people might be feeling worried or upset or cross, and so it's a great way for us to introduce that through Luna's behaviour. And then her baby Delilah is just like a giant puppy, so she's just a bundle of joy and love, so loving, and she's just, yeah, mate, she's full of laughter for us.
Meg, are you still able to like, are you still running at the moment, or?
Yep, so we've fitted into a category of an essential service for vulnerable young people, so young people who have had interventions through Department of Health and Human Services or Child Protection or the court system. So we've been very lucky. We've had to make some changes, you know, each week I feel like we've adapted, and I just can't speak more highly of how adaptive our young people have been. You know, wearing a mask for people who've experienced trauma and find it very difficult to understand facial cues anyway is a big barrier for and is quite threatening for young people to feel safe. And, you know, it's just something that we've got to, you know, we've just kept working with, and they've just been absolutely remarkable. We've had to change our cooking program because that was our closest sort of workspace, even though it is an outdoor kitchen. So we've only got the person who does the cooking program in our kitchen, and young people who want to participate can prep food in an outdoor space on their own. Or we're using the fire to do as much cooking as we can, so that we're not sort of, you know, across a counter. Or so that's probably the biggest change is but, you know, it's just short, and it's fine. And we've done, you know, lots of damper and things on sticks, and just changed the way we do things.
And one thing that I'm really keen to stress on this show, and I know I say it often, but I really do mean it, is that we will get out of this. You know, it's no Absolutely. Good us all getting down and saying, well, it's the end of the world almost. It's not. And what the world will look like in a month's time or 6 weeks' time or 10 weeks, 12.
Very different to today.
Well, it could be different. but, I mean, the main thing, we adapt. Meg, I've just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more.
See the people who stop and stare and say, haven't I seen that face somewhere a long time ago? When I walk down the street, see the stranger who says, why hi, with a how you going, buddy, when you walked on.
Yesterday's hero. Yesterday's hero.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 15 minutes to 2, and we've dropped back a degree to 9 degrees. We were on 10, which was the top for the day, so I hope it's not on its way down, but who knows. Just a quick reminder again that I will be back next Wednesday between, I'll be back on Sunday with Music Memories and More between 12 and 3 with hits of the 50s, 60s, and we're going to get ourselves real happy and let's forget about what's going on. But also next Wednesday, straight after midday news, we'll have the legal hour. And if you've got these legal questions, look, it's a great opportunity to get them answered, and it costs you nothing, and we'll learn a bit. So either info@yarravalleyfm.org.au, that's info@yarravalleyfm.org.au, or give us a quick ring on 59 615 991. You'd have to do that in the next 15 minutes before I go. 59 615 991. We'll get these answered. We can't discuss a case, but we can certainly find out what different aspects of the law. But I have with me Meg from the Track Learning Centre, and we've been talking all about her 5-acre project, which is obviously for the youth that have disengaged from normal schooling, and they do a great job. Meg, what sort of support do you get from government? How is the it funded, the Track Learning Centre?
Yep. So at the moment, we don't have any government support, so we're self-funded. So we are a fee-for-service, and we access funding for individual young people through organisations that they might be linked with. So quite often that young person has funding attached to their care model. Schools also have a funding pool for their vulnerable learners or learners who are disengaging. Shire also has some funding, so we're always accessing those things. If a young person comes to us and has no funding attached, then we do a sponsorship for those young people. So that's through all our grant writing, and when we're awarded a grant, that funding is put aside so that we can support a young person to attend.
So you don't get any ongoing funding from state, federal government, or anything like that?
No, we don't.
Gee, that's a bit. Obviously, you'd be looking at that, would you? Or
yeah, look, I think we would love to be able to partner in that space, and we've got a few conversations that are that are starting in that area, and certainly there's a lot of funding coming toward mental health through. Particularly since the COVID-19 situation, that we know that there are people in homes and in places who are experiencing poor mental health and the impacts of that. So we hope to be able to access some of that funding that might come through as a model for supporting young people back into a learning environment. The other side of that is, and certainly don't want to cut my nose off to spite my face, but we're able to really address the needs of our young people without, I guess, the script being written through a governmental department structure for what they're looking for, which having done a lot of that work before, which, is great work, doesn't always come to meet the needs of the young person. It comes to meet the needs of government and sort of speaking to some of the outcomes they're looking for. So it certainly allows us to be independent. We track all of our modelling and our information. We're looking to do a research project, sort of a 12-month to 5 years, and then 5 years of where our young people are from when they're first engaged. So, we're really keen to be able to follow this model and see the impacts, particularly of the most vulnerable young people that access the programs. But I think in order to have that flexibility and the freedom to have a very individualised program, it does allow us to be 100% from our young person's perspective, and that we're not sort of getting into the situation where sometimes the tail can wag the dog and we're controlled by governance rather than the requirements that our young people need. So, yeah, finances is always a problem in a not-for-profit space. And we're always looking to be, creative there and to certainly reduce another barrier for families or young people to access it. And yeah, it's just an ongoing, I think that's, you know, the life of a not-for-profit.
So is there a cost to the young person who comes, like apart from the ones that, if someone fronts up and they haven't got any funding attached to them, is it then a user pay or how does that go?
So that's right, but that's what we use our scholarship funding for. So when we are awarded a grant, that money is set aside to fund young people without, you know, without their own funding attached.
What you were saying before too, and I don't put down government funding because there's government.
Not at all.
I mean, a lot of organisations do, but very often it's the outcome that they're interested in more what's on paper rather than you have to have a proven outcome. I mean, I guess with some of your people, you might go months and months without any sort of outcome, wouldn't you?
Yeah, look, I guess it just depends on how you define an outcome. So if you've got a young person who's turning up every week and they're here early for brekkie, which is quite often the case, and previously they haven't left the house or attended school or anything for, you know, up to 2 years, I think that's a pretty great outcome. You know, we're just seeing, you know, a whole range of responses that are incredibly positive and from connection right through to engagement. And so I guess that's a lot of our modelling and our data that we keep, because those incremental changes and developments are, you know, imperative to long-term successful outcomes. And building capacity in someone who might not have gone to school or had a job for years and years, to be able to actually just stay somewhere for a day, that's a lot. You know, they're very tired. So there's a whole range of rigours that we sort of take for granted in our workplaces and in our learning environments that can be quite overwhelming, or, you know, and so then if that young person hasn't built that rigour, then they're likely to just be, oh, I don't feel like it, or I can't do it, or I'm feeling sad, or I'm feeling these feelings, and not then re-engage. So it's really doing the preparatory work before we get them into a re-engaged sort of space of further education.
I'm counting on ever since we met, darling, I've been keeping score. Every day I count your charms, every day I love you more. It's plain to see why you're the lover that I waited for. I'm counting the different ways you melt me, your smile, your voice, your touch. I'm counting the little things you tell me that move me oh so much. I'm counting your kisses and caresses, and 'cause I thrill as I do, for I'm counting on you. I'm counting the hours since I found you, the days and nights divine. I'm counting the dreams I built around you, because your love is mine. I'm counting on happiness forever. Oh, lover, always be true.
I'm counting on you. Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 4 minutes to two. We've popped back up to the top of the day for 10 degrees. I have with me Meg from the Track Learning Centre, and we've been talking all about the young people. Something you said before, Meg, that you said that, you know, some of these people, young people, are not used to doing anything much. And I guess if somebody hasn't been to school or in any sort of environment where they go day after day after day, just to get somebody there for 6 hours, maybe that's all they can do that whole week, isn't it?
Yep. And we're so happy to see them. So, you know, really marking successes is important in the framework of our work, because quite often our young people really come from a deficit perspective. And so really, you know, reflecting back at them, their achievements and everything that they do well. And so, yeah, if they've got here on a day and they've not been somewhere for 2 years, we are very, very happy.
Meg, you were saying too that, you know, you get some of these young people through DHS and those. If there's a person listening today with either their child or their grandchild, can they contact you? Do they have to be referred to you by somebody else?
Absolutely. Yep. They can contact me anytime.
And so how would they contact you?
Sure. So they can, if people are Instagram users, they can reach out through Instagram. Otherwise, our work number, are you happy for me to give that now? Or yeah, sure. It's 0433-902-623. So they can give that a call. If that phone, sure. Absolutely. 0433-902-623. Or they can email me directly. So my email is meg@treklearningcentre.org, and it's Trek, T-R-E-K, Learning Centre.
There could be somebody listening today that is either a parent or a grandparent that have related to what's going on. And or I guess there could be the odd young person that they could refer themselves to.
Absolutely, sure. Yeah. And I guess just further to that, if anyone, we have been nominated for a substantial grant, and just in the conversation in regards to our sponsorship of young people who don't have funding, if anyone wanted to at all go to the seedheritage.com page and vote, it's a 2 second job. You just put your email in and then you literally click on the 5 acre project. That funding is going into our sponsorship fund to allow young people who you know exactly what you're talking about, who may be coming without funding or without a family that can afford to pay for their program.
It's very easy to do it because I did it. could you just tell them again what they've got to look up, please?
Absolutely. So Seed is actually a clothing company. So when people go into that, some people have sort of been like, oh, what is this? It's the Seed Heritage. com, and they do a once a year grant for social enterprises, and this year was for social enterprises founded by a woman, and it's called Seed of an Idea. So there's 5 finalists, of which we're one, and our program is the 5 acre project.
Thanks, Meg. Unfortunately, I've got to go. It's right on the news.
No worries.
I need to go. Great to have you, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Thanks, Meg. Bye.